computers are perfect, or things that go bump in the night. Hi, and welcome to A&J PEI Treasures, E. Jean Simpson author blog post and podcast. I'm your host, Jean, coming to you from the beautiful province of Prince Edward Island, Canada.
Oh, thank you.
The blog post and podcast is an opinion piece and only reflects this author's opinion and not that of any other entity. I hold no designations in politics, economics, or medicine. I am retired from the mental health field. I am a humanitarian and speak from that viewpoint only. Whether you agree or not, at least I hope it makes you think. This week, I talk about the computerization of things and how, without proper supports, this is not the move ahead it seems. It can, in fact, become the thing that goes bump in the night, the thing we all dread. If you want to find out more, then stay tuned. Wednesday is my usual blog post writing day. Today was different, well, to a point. I was sitting finishing off my email when my husband called. He had been to the bank, the card had gotten eaten. By the time we got home and halfway down the road with me, he realized that he hadn't checked his wallet. There was the errant card sitting in his wallet. It turns out the machine had not given him money. He looked at the amount he had taken out, panicked, and knew it didn't come out. Didn't read the paper entirely where it said that it didn't come out, and then in his panic forgot they had pulled out the card and put it in his wallet without thinking. So at this point, we're halfway to town anyway, so might as well continue. Then we got home. Once things were sorted, I checked, and the cell seemed good, but then I went to check my messages. And that's when it said that it wasn't good. I was not hooked to my cell, or it didn't know about my monthly paid account. I've been paying for an account that shows I'm paying for it, but no service. Isn't that wonderful? I didn't have need of the cell for the last while, and so I thought it was a scam when I was getting messages. At that point, in fact, I was apparently not connected to my cell as it told me that I only had urgent calls available to me. Though I am, at least on the internet on the cell, it's quite another story. As far as I know, there's only one me on the account for my cell phone, or should be. Of course, in the meantime, I got a replacement credit card. There have been a lot of family things on my mind, and I forgot to get it activated by phone. Didn't realize it was a replacement card. I decided to do that before I forgot again. The computer voice doesn't recognize it. I tried both ways. I put in valid information, and it suddenly decided that it didn't like the number it already liked. So when I looked at my other credit card, I'm not sure what's going on there. This necessitates a visit to the bank because after fighting it for half an hour and it gave me all sorts of weird and wonky things, I gave up. I won't use it for the next while anyway. Now at the same time, I have had ebook sellers wanting me to give them my SIN, for those not in the know, social insurance number. I don't think so. I can't even get my cell phone to know that I'm using it or that I'm on it. I don't know whose phone I'm on. They aren't paying the bill, but I am paying mine. Hopefully I'm not paying someone else's bills. I was writing this while waiting for the call back. It really wasn't too long before getting the call back. It took about 5 minutes. Of course, I both tweeted them and asked for a call back on the nice machine. It seemed to give me all sorts of suggestions. Remember, computers are perfect. Apparently, there was nothing wrong, though my cell phone told me that I would only do emergency calls. Oh yeah, and that call that started it all, I already knew it was likely not a call at all, but hubby calling from the earlier stuff. The problem fixed, I think, at least for the next few minutes. At least that's what the person on the other end of the phone told me. The call back was emailed prior to happening. Then they called shortly after. It was not unpleasant, but there was no indication what the problem was, and they got notifications to send. I don't know what the problem was. Their voice, possibly at a call center, was so low that I had a hard time to hear them. Now I still turn the whole mess off, but should try to get some of what I actually want on the phone rather than what I don't want. I don't like giving any information either over phone or online. There was the earlier hacking stuff that makes me even more distrustful because computers are perfect. We have so many computers doing things for us that we take it for granted that they will work properly. When they don't, we don't know what to do about it. I'm not anti-technology. I'm more pro finding ways to deal with computerized work in a more intelligent way. What was wrong with myself? I had no idea. What was the button that had to be pushed? Who knows? The whole thing literally looked fine online, on the internet. Why the cell didn't know about it, I don't know. I even pulled out my SIM card to make sure that I had the right SIM card. Then people wonder that I'm not that keen to give my sensitive information to a computer or even to a person online. This seems a monumental decision to make. If someone pushes the wrong button, who knows what the online metaverse would do with it? The other thing that I wonder about is that the computers themselves, you get all these messages. Some of them have links. I'm not sure that all those messages have valid links. It's often better to be safe than sorry. Just today, we decided to look something up on one of the provincial government pages of another province. When we clicked the link, it didn't go anywhere. It literally was a dead link, and there was more than one. Apparently, things move at such a breakneck speed that even provincial governments don't manage to keep their links up to date. This is just one more sign of the times. We have so much information, and it is changing so fast that even governments are not able to keep up. So given the lesser stuff, links to pages that they manage or are associated with that do not have time to be updated, what else is not being done with regard to security, etc.? I'm not saying that computers are bad or wrong. I'm saying that we have so much information online, and with so much information available online, how can we possibly keep anything safe? With so much changing so fast, how much of what is online is useful? How much is actually safe, and should we freely give sensitive information? We do things without thinking online. We can find tons of information. Some people feel they have the right to hack what is online. To some it is a challenge, to some it is a way to scam. For some, the internet is just a source of information. Another thing that happens online which is scary is that some people duplicate accounts and some hack accounts. Not that long ago, there was an indication that Gene Simmons' wife had her account hacked. At least there was a tweet on it. She got it back according to a subsequent tweet. Not everyone is Gene Simmons, and I suspect that others are left to struggle or to find some other way. I myself got kicked out of my Facebook account for almost a full year and actually got it back by accident. I don't know how it worked. The same when my Amazon account got me locked out. I got back in by accident because I got a new computer and it finally worked. So with all this kind of stuff going on, it is of little wonder that I'm way beyond ambivalent when it comes to putting more sensitive information online. As Nina Easton has been quoted as saying, "Your company is probably going to get hacked. The velocity and complexity of hacking attempts has skyrocketed, with companies routinely facing millions of knocks on the vault doors." So with it being so widely accepted that it happens, that it can happen and does happen, why do we take such a blasé attitude towards our sensitive information? I know the other side is that information needs to be sent to the government. I think we might need to move forward finding ways of giving people access to the ability to do some things without the use of the SIN or passports. The more we put our sensitive information online, the more we risk having our lives sold to the highest bidder. I have had companies ask for SIN and some for passport. I also know that there are hackers who would definitely find it worth their while to get access to this information. It would give them a treasure trove of fake IDs that they could make. It gives dishonest people a way to use other people or their personal information. For example, some look to selling passports information on the black market. We need to come up with some kind of business computer model for contractors and people who spend most of their lives online that does not endanger them nor their livelihood. Whether you agree with me or not, I hope I made you think. Thanks for listening to my podcast and or reading my blog post, and thanks for your interest in ANJPEI treasures. Keep watching, because we're always working on something. Thank you, and happy Halloween for all those who celebrate. Our blog posts are available on WordPress and Goodreads. My podcasts are available on Anchor FM, iHeartRadio, and Podchaser, just to name a few. All my ebooks can be found on Smashwords. At least I think they can. Depends on how they're feeling right now. You can also find us on Twitter, YouTube, Pinterest, LinkedIn, and I have links to all those in my podcast write-up and in my blog post write-up. Thank you very much. Bye for now.